I'm Paul Wegraff, Director of the Delaware Division of the Arts, and your host for today. Joining me for Delaware State of the Arts by Zoom are the President of the Board of the Wilmington Drama League, Eric Merlino, and the Production Manager for Wilmington Drama League, Kathy Buderbaugh. Welcome, Eric and Kathy.
Hi, Paul.
So glad to have you taking time out of your day today as we're all cooped up in our respective spaces, practicing physical distancing, not social distancing, because people, I think, have been more social through Zoom and Facebook and everything else.
I know. I'll tell you, I wish I had stock in Zoom.
About online conferencing.
That's right. Well, in the midst of where we are today during the COVID-19 physical isolation. This came upon all of us pretty quickly back in March. I thought what we could do today with you representing Wilmington Drama League, talk a little bit about where you were, what was going on when this all hit, and sort of how did it impact you? What kind of decision did you have to make pretty quickly? I'll toss that out to either one of you.
Well, we were a state of emergency was declared on March 12th at 3 p.m. And that night was opening night for Falsettos. And that's one of our black box performances. The first state of emergency called for nothing over 100 people gathering. And our black boxes seat only like 65 people. And even between the audience and cast and crew, it would have been easily under 100, but Eric needed to reach out to the board and find out what they wanted to do, and the vote was to go ahead with opening night, but then shut it down after that. So we had a fantastic opening night because it was all fueled with all of the emotions and the you know, the adrenaline and things like that. It was amazing. And And then the next three performances were, I don't want to say canceled, postponed, because we have determined that we are going to finish that run and the run of everything that has been scheduled. But that was, the board voted to, just in compliance, and even though we wouldn't have been out of compliance, it just for safety reasons, we postponed. So.
And as Kathy said, it was a very emotional night. The actors and the director all knew, before the show started that it was probably going to be the only performance for quite some time. And in fact, even before the show, we were already looking at alternatives for at least what we knew at that time to be the potential return of people being able to gather, and tried to figure out some dates that are still on the books tentatively.
It becomes a little tricky because one of the cast members is with child. And so we can't get too close to, rescheduling where she's having a beat, but they're willing to do it whenever. So it may be in next season, next fall, next spring. I don't even know. Who knows?
Yeah. Well, in that particular show, Falsettos, as I recall, is a pretty emotionally powerful piece. So, I mean, not only the learning the lines, so to speak, but just the emotional investment these actors had to put all that work into it, and then to have it, fall short like that must have been really disheartening for them.
Right. And that's why, like, I'm happy that as an organization, we've absolutely committed ourselves to, or should be committed, whatever, but committed ourselves to performing all of the shows that were in planning. The Falsettos will finish their run at some point. Noises Off, which was halfway through their rehearsals, will have their time on stage. And Matilda, which was June, is tentatively scheduled for September. They were already cast and ready to start their rehearsals. So we're not canceling anything. We're just gonna find out. It may take us like 2 years to finish all the shows we wanna do, but we'll do that.
Now, I believe if I read right on your website that you've selected your season for next year. I'm not asking you to reveal that. I'm wondering, during this downtime, has there been, let me open it up more broadly. What kind of planning or considerations have the board or you, Kathy, or all of you together been taking into account, not really knowing what the time frame is exactly, or what reopening might look like? What sort of conversations have you been having about what it might look like on the other end of it?
Yeah, we've had a number of if this, then that conversations. And one of the things that talking about announcing, you know, a next season is that we're looking at it sort of almost as a both next season and finishing this season kind of proposition, so that when we do announce it, we're going to also make it known that in addition to what would normally be the shows for next season, finishing the shows of this season will also be a part of it if we don't get to do that, let's say, by the end of June. So it's kind of sort of be a new season and a promise to finish the old season all at the same time.
We're planning the season reveal in a couple of weeks.
Go ahead, Kathy.
No, I was going to say we're planning the season reveal, and stay tuned, in a couple of weeks. But it will literally be a list of shows we're going to do in no particular order with no dates next to them.
We have dates in mind, but because there's no subject to change, we're not going to commit to them.
Sure.
Until we know what we can commit to.
Yeah. I'm curious. I know there's been discussion amongst different performing arts organizations about potential need to space audience members. You know, maybe you can't sell 100% of your seats, that kind of thing. Has there been talk about that, and what sort of, I know there's been some discussion too, all the way up to the level of Broadway, about our audience is going to feel safe coming into spaces. What sort of discussions, planning have you been making regarding how you can make your patrons feel, for lack of a better word, safe in coming back into a public space?
I think Kathy's already done the math for spacing.
I think that, and I've been talking to a lot of people about what their level of safe would feel like. The first thing is we have a lot of older patrons. So in my head, we may want to put special performances for them to come to. Because they're just maybe not gonna feel safe being, amongst a large or even semi-large group of people. So that may be a thing. Also, more performances and less people. It's hard to predict how many people will feel safe coming back. But I talked to one of my kids and I was like, so, you know, you're young and healthy. What would you, you know, what? And they interestingly said, I would feel less comfortable with someone behind me than like next to me. And I was like, okay, that's a good point. So I think that it'll look like something like maybe every other row, and then couples or families sitting together and then being separated by one or two. Now the math brings that down completely, correlation to how many groups of people who know each other. So I'm saying that it could go down to a quarter of our capacity. And if we have to do that, we have to do that. I mean, what, who knows?
What, yeah. And one of the other things we were talking about is, if we even...
Oh, no, Eric froze. Oh,
Eric, you froze. Well, Kathy, let me ask you while we get Eric back here. I'm aware of at least one local theater company that runs dinner theaters. It's not Candlelight, which many of our listeners are familiar with. But one of the local dinner theaters has been talking, as they reopen, about how they might configure their audiences seated at dinner tables, and that they'll space them out more. And normally they would seat at one table attendees who aren't necessarily in the same group. But what they're talking about doing is when they seat people, there we go. I think, do we have Eric back?
We do.
Eric, we have you back? Great. So anyway, I think what they're talking about is when they reopen, they would allow members of one family to sit close together, but they wouldn't seat, you know, two different groups
right.
at one table. So they're talking about, you know, the spacing issues may be different depending on whether you're coming as a group that's been living together or
right.
not. So, I mean, there are different configurations there. I'm wondering too, and this is coming from my background as a performer, what the implications might be for the performers and spaces.
Right.
When you're talking about green rooms and makeup tables and dressing rooms and what kinds of accommodations are going to be needed there. And I'm thinking too of, you know, if you have, and I'm thinking of like a choral group, you know, where
right.
you'll have 30 choristers standing together on risers to present a choral concert. You know, what might that look like when we come out the other end?
Somewhat our situation is like, as live actors, many of it is intimate, you know,
mm-hmm.
Many of it
yeah.
will not make sense unless you're like close and proximity and God forbid the love scenes, you know what I mean? If you're not quarantined with
right.
the person that's cast as your, I really don't know how that's
yeah.
going to look.
Yeah.
I think
yeah.
we may have to do that. If there's love interest, I have to quarantine them together for some weeks.
Yeah.
right. We're like, you're in rehearsals now. Get the same place. That's it.
Brings a whole new, whole new meaning to, cast bonding.
Yes.
Yes.
Oh my gosh,
exactly.
It'll be the true test of a cast. But it's funny when you see what was in China and stuff, just about normal life, and they would take their temperature before they entered places.
Yeah.
But
yeah.
the point is, taking people's temperature before they come into rehearsal doesn't really tell you everything, because now we know that you can pass.
They could
it
be
on.
Asymptomatic. Yeah. Yeah.
Absolutely.
Yeah.
So I until like maybe they get like an instant swab and they're like a nickel a piece and we test everybody on the way
right.
in the door.
Right.
I don't know.
Right. So. Well, let me just break in here and remind our listeners that you are tuned into Delaware State of the Arts here on News Radio 1450 WILM and 1410 WDOV. Joining us by Zoom today are Eric Merlino, the president of the Wilmington Drama League Board, and Kathy Buderbaugh, the production manager of Wilmington Drama League. We're talking about what happens in a community theater in the face of a shutdown. And let's turn in the direction of what you're doing now during the during this hiatus of productions. I understand you're doing some creative things artistically as well as just practically getting some work done at the theater.
Eric, you want to, okay, he's waving to me. right. we exist through really, really generous grantors. So thank you, Delaware Division of the Arts and many others. We had a grant already for replacing the stage floor. We are a, I don't know, 1939. I can't do the math.
Old building.
We're an old building, 1939. And some of the parts have never been replaced. So the stage floor was getting a little, in need of repair. So we're replacing the stage floor. Construction is a completely legal area according to the governor's guidelines. And so when we come back, we had scheduled it for after our final show in June, but now we won't have to do that shutdown in June. Hopefully we'll be able to, you know, maybe fit some artistic things in there. I know that's if people at home are going like, oh, they're nodding their, or they're shaking their heads and they're like, you're crazy. I don't know, people, but we can hope. So anyway,
I think the great thing about that is that you have work that you're going to get done anyway, and we're going to have to interrupt your right. schedule. Otherwise, this way you can get that work done at a time when you have to be closed. But what it's also doing is giving these contractors work during the yes. during the shutdown.
And now in June, they can have a different customer. So
right.
that's
right.
Now, Eric, can you talk about shutdown showcase?
Yeah, I'd love to hear about shutdown showcase.
Sure. That's what I was going to defer to you on, but you went with the stage, so I'll go to the showcase, which is basically what I think, you know, folks in various places may be doing a version of, but basically we are doing a combination of some new live performances that are done, you know, by video, so thus socially distanced, along with some highlights and snippets from things that the Drama League has done in the past that we've, you know, archived, and we're also presenting them as well as something to keep folks, you know, entertained, interested, and connected. A lot of what the shutdown, what this shutdown has, you know, has really been difficult for is, you know, just people staying connected with people that they're used to seeing on a regular basis. The performances that we're putting out on a weekly basis are appeal to different groups depending on what week it is. We've done some children's, some things that are for children and family. We also have done things and will be doing some things that appeal to adults, such as Shakespeare and other similar, you know, offerings. Go ahead, Kathy.
I was going to say the first episode was we were like, we have to do something. And so I did a one-woman Goldilocks improv of like the whole thing in my apartment using only what was here. Obviously, I have access to the you know, props and stuff, but I used everything here and invited kids to do the same, to videotape themselves doing, you know, a story. Present some live theater, create it in your home. It can be done. That was the impetus for the first one. And then our fabulous director of falsettos, Sarah Nowak, who also teaches at Cab Calloway, she did a wonderful one woman act five of Midsummer Night's Dream after the wedding scene. And oh my gosh, she had, she has a snake as a pet. And so the snake was in it. And then she has a suit of armor in her apartment. So it was really, really good. Mm-hmm. So anyway, we're going to have things like Shakespeare's couples and things like that. So that's upcoming.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. I understand too, that some of your customers have been busy during this downtime.
They have. There is a fabulous Facebook group called Help for Healthcare Workers. I have to use my theater diction. And it is a bunch of people who either you're a deliverer or you're finding supplies and things like that, or you're donating. And I would say there are 4 to 5 of our customers in that group sewing masks for healthcare workers in Delaware. And actually Carrie Christine from City Theater was one of the two starters of the group, and it has created over 20,000 masks for healthcare workers in Delaware.
I think that's great that they're able to contribute in that way, both for the healthcare workers I think it speaks volumes for the volunteers that you recruit to be doing that.
It does. Also, the theater has donated a lot of material, because of course we have a lot. So a lot of when you see some of the face masks, they're like, oh, that was my costume from blah blah blah, and, you know, so you can watch nurses walk around with your costume on their face.
That was my Liesl dress. Well, we've got a couple minutes left, but let me first, before I forget, ask you to give your website a plug so people know where to go to find out what you're doing and you know, what your plans are when you reopen.
Well, it's www.wilmingtondramaleague.org, so pretty easy to remember. And we'll actually be having a fairly significant makeover to it that should be going live in the next couple of weeks. So that'll be something new and fun to look forward to. And Kathy is happy about that because it'll be updated and modernized with the platform we'll be using. So, but definitely stay tuned. It'll be the same address with the new platform.
WilmingtonDramaLeague.org.
Great.
Did you say WilmingtonDramaLeague.org?
WilmingtonDramaLeague.org. Kathy, let me wrap up with you. We've got about 45 seconds left. Speak to the role that theater is going to play, live theater is going to play as our society reopens.
Well, the first thing that I have really been thinking about is we've now watched everything on every streaming platform. So I don't know, maybe there'll be a resurgence of live theater. I'm always an optimist, but I try to be a realist too. We have to figure out some way to adapt to what this world is going to look like after we safely can reemerge, because live theater is about connection to each other, to the story, to the audience, and we have to connect, because if this continued forever, we would all shrivel and die, so it's fine. We will come back. We will come back stronger. We've been here 87 years, and we will be here 87 more and 87 more than that. So do we know exactly what it looks like? It does not, but neither do all your listeners. So we'll all figure it out together, and then we'll come back to live theater, and we'll spray Lysol all over the place, and we'll enjoy live stories with live people.
And with that, it's time to wrap up. Eric Merlino and Kathy Budabaugh from the Wilmington Drama League, thanks so much for joining me today.
Thank you, Paul.